to the January meeting of the Board of Directors of the Brandon Mill Community Association. And thank you all for coming tonight. Especially since we have adjusted our hours tonight for unspecified reasons to start at 6:30 p.m. instead of our normal 7 o'clock. Being the first of the year, I will, before I get into member voice, I'm going to just, I think it's a good idea for future presidents of the board to kind of go through this process, just so members who may be new to our meetings understand just some general ground rules. Our meetings are held for our membership, and they're intended so that the members can have an opportunity to hear about the goings and the doings of the Brandon Community Association. We do have two opportunities for members to speak at our meeting. The first would be our member voice portion, which is the second item on our agenda, as it is always. We ask, for the sake of meeting flow and for the sake of other members that may wish to speak, that members keep their comments to 3 minutes. It's not to limit your voice. It's just that we believe that members, all members have a right to speak. And also, it kind of doesn't cause the meeting to drag on to such extent that meetings become tedious and our members who aren't on the board cease continuing coming to the meeting. So it's kind of a gauge just to make sure that we all respect each other and whatnot. So the second opportunity you'll have to speak is anytime we have an agenda item under motion, members have the opportunity to speak about that item under motion. So we ask that members of the community, when they get an agenda, make sure they pay attention to that. If there is an agenda item on our agenda that is under motion, you can speak to it then. Of course, some of you might have just picked up your agenda when you got here. I'd like to remind everybody that you can pick up your agenda on the BrandonMill.com website. And I also encourage you, while you're on the BrandonMill.com website, to link to our email blast so you can keep, again, abreast of what's going on with the community. Having said all that, I'll begin the member voice portion of our meeting. And I will call to the podium the Honorable Mr. Ken Kesselring.
Is he an honorable or are you just mean?
He's honorable to me.
Oh, okay. What was that? I'm feeling
it. No, you didn't.
That was a good one.
Not at all.
I'm Ken Kesselring. This is my son, Alex, and
what
he had a couple words that he would like to say to the board.
What neighborhood?
Hello, Alex.
Good. My name is Alex Kesselring. Today I'm here to express some dissatisfaction with the neighborhood swim team membership policy. As you already know, the policy mandates that you have to be part of a team, you must sign up for the expensive pool membership. Despite the various complaints and other people bringing up the issue to me, nothing has seemed to be addressed. But what I'd like to know is what supporting reasons are actually qualifying the current membership policy. If you think in a purely economic perspective, allowing people to sign up for the team without signing up for the pool could potentially increase neighborhood profits. You can comparably state that with lower fees associated with joining the team, more people would be interested in actually joining the swim team. With a higher membership rate, it would compensate for the reduced fee. As a part of the swim team myself, my family has been upset by the lack of a separate membership type. I've met countless individuals, especially those who are older, who quit because the expensive plan isn't worth it. That may seem insignificant to you, but everything boils down to the consequential analysis of the reduction in membership. Less people means less profit for concessions at the meets, as well as less potential for profits for the vending machines. Not to mention we can relate the prevalence of those swimmers to the neighborhood advertising. If, for example, Brandon's top four swimmers, all of which you have talked to and would like to quit, were to leave the team because of the high cost, you cannot expect our team to do well at the championship meet, which means less spread for the neighborhood. Why wouldn't you want the free advertising that these meets provide? By inherently having other people view the connection between the different age levels on the swim team, people obtain a better opinion about the youth perspective of Brandon. Next, you can also look at the pure idea that so many people are already upset about the membership plans. Why should people have to pay for the entire membership when they don't even use the pool besides during swim meets and practices? I'm not calling for a complete reduction, but rather a decrease in the rate for those who only want to be a part of the swim team. Why should they be limited by a fee that is too steep just to use a pool for the team? For one person to join is $300 and for a family is $435. That seems rather steep for a member who only wants to be a part of the teams. Although I wouldn't be able to sufficiently devise an actual number for what the membership would be if you wanted to just join the pool, I would estimate around $100 to $150. It would have to be derived from the costs associated with actually running the team. Plenty of people have already talked to me or my parents about the inflexible nature of the membership plan, and by doing the cost-benefit analysis, there are so many advantages to actually providing a separate membership, and for those who only want to join the smoke team. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you.
As this board will recall, I think last year at some point we did discuss the point that he's talking about, which basically was, I think at that time was a $75 membership fee for to join the swim team and not join the pools, and you would only be able to use the facility while you were going to swim team practice or meets. I think that's in a nutshell what we did last year. Last year the board, I think, decided not to pursue that matter. And I think for us, as I recall, and the directors might wish to correct me on this, was it's just the timing at which it was presented to us, I think, was the issue. So I suggest we remand that item to our facilities committee so that they can discuss it.
My recollection was that that's what we did at that time.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
Because it was a financial decision. Mm-hmm. So without having reasonable projections about how many folks would change from their family to pool-only membership, we couldn't know the financial impact to the community. So again, I guess we remand it again, we refer it back to the committee and ask for a timely follow-up.
Yeah, because one aspect of it was timing with some people had already signed up for some, so if you did it at that time, it might not be fair, but I remember there at least being a few directors who were actually for the concept of it, but not necessarily for the timing of it. So, yeah.
Since we're talking dollars and cents, while we're not really quite in a pool membership drive, perhaps we would remand that issue rather than facilities or remand it to finance?
You could, certainly. Perhaps you could do both and have facilities look at the concept and how it might be structured, and then finance can consider it since they're meeting on the 27th, I think. They could discuss it and see if they see any immediate red flags.
Well, the important information that finance is not going to have access to is how many of these swim team members are going to convert from full family to swim team only.
Right. One thing I'd like to ask, Alex, did you have those remarks in writing?
No, I did not. I can talk to all the people, but the four top swimmers on the team were planning on quitting this next year because they were dissatisfied with having to pay for it.
Well, you did a remarkable job of making that member comment in the 2 minutes, so I applaud you. But if you did have some comments or you wanted to put some basic points down on paper and send them to our community manager, she will forward them to the committees that will, so that they can consider it.
And I think the key thing in this is let's just make sure we don't get in a situation like we did last year where we wait so long that now people have bought full memberships where it would have had an opportunity. Because I think what Alex has stated probably has might have the majority support of this board.
Might be, Keith, that one way to expedite it is to have staff look at this at the same time on a parallel course, come back to us with some, if you do this, this might be the impact, but here's the cost. Maybe it's 75, maybe it's 100, maybe it's, I don't know what it might be. But staff could look at it and see what might be a reasonable way to approach it so that we can move forward more quickly than waiting for two committees to finish work on it.
It would probably be very helpful even to staff if we had an idea how many people on the swim team have been dissatisfied with the current arrangement. Then we would have a projection that we could look at.
Right.
Can I mention not only Alex and Ken there, but perhaps we talked to our swim team presidents, mm-hmm. the joiners, since Bobby brought it to our attention last fall. Okay. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you.
Next, for member voice, we have signed up Bill Coyner. Hello, Bill.
Good evening. I'm Bill Corner. I'm actually Mark Smith's next-door neighbor. So I think we should know Mark, but I think he's been very active in our community over the years. I came to a couple of these, but one of them I'll go down since he's persuaded to come here and talk about this. I've been living in the community for over 25 years in a very proper community. My wife is the third resident right now. So we've lived here and enjoyed the community and seen it prosper and, you know, seen her tough times too. My purpose of being here tonight is, though, Mark and I had dinner, breakfast yesterday, I guess, and one of the issues that came up was, and we always bat these things around, is that we have a sign that's not really in compliance with the county standard. And that's going to be an issue, a problem for the community. And it's a nice sign. It advertises well, and I think there ought to be some way to save the sign. So Mark has actually passed out a picture of a way that maybe the county would agree to let the sign maintain in place. And that is by adding to the sign information about the two schools adjacent to the sign. And somebody else may have another idea that may be other things just as good. But I thought maybe, again, I'm an old lobbyist. I worked as head of the Junior Retail Merchants Association for years. I know half of winning battles is having people on your side. Yeah. It's not being right or wrong, it's being people on your side. So I might make a suggestion that if this is something that is of value or the board thinks it may be worth pursuing, but rather than make it a known advertised issue, have somebody like Jane or somebody who's in a position to talk to the county and say, if we did this and split it up where we didn't have a sign that was advertised that randomly violated the county zoning ordinance, would they accept that? And that basically is that, and the fact that Mark is trying to convince me to run for the board. I'll tell you, I'm not here with that. He may have already heard about it. He's a very zealous man. He's not totally convinced me, but I just retired after many years and do like to say enjoy the community. And the idea was, irrespective of what I do, something I thought may help keep an issue that's become, I guess, controversial. Make it something that can be resolved without harming or costing the money I think I saw advertised in the paper about trying to tear the sign down.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. So we'll just say those are good ideas, and some ideas that have been batted around, and some ideas that have been batted around between the BC and the county. So,
and you know,
good thought.
I would agree to it, but if somebody like Jane would approach the county and say, if we could do this, would this resolve the zoning restriction issue?
Yeah.
Of course, the officer should cut the sign down. That's a possibility. But
right.
Who wants to keep it advertised? I thought that just might be an idea.
Yep.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have William Meyer.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen of the board. Please like the minutes to reflect that I'm a Spring Gate resident. Not my name. I called two attorneys today, and so that'll be the have my name recorded for minutes.
Absolutely.
Thank you for recognizing that. The reason I'm here today is I'm very concerned about the recent development, that there's not going to be a traffic light up here at the corner of Old London Road and Granville Parkway. When the road was approved to go to Watermill Parkway, as you guys know, I was told there was going to be a traffic light there. So that was really good, because what happens is, for those of you who live in the neighborhood, when you leave here in the morning, sometimes between 6:30 a.m. like I do, to 7:30 to go to work in the morning, sometimes I wait up to 20 minutes just to pull out of this neighborhood. And it starts to just get worse and worse and worse and worse. And as soon as this lane is opened up to four lanes, the accessibility to get out of this neighborhood is going to be very, very, very hard to do. And I think I got to hammer this point. I've already called some of our representatives on the state level, the local level, and they're like, you're the only one we've heard from so far. Now, I would really encourage the board to write a letter to send to our state representatives and our local representatives and say, hey, it's critical that we have this traffic light here, because what's going to happen is that we're going to have mass exodus of people leaving the neighborhood, because if I can't get to work in the morning and I'm a currently dues-paying person, we have a nice home in the neighborhood, some of my other neighbors have nice houses in the neighborhood, we're just going to have to move because, I mean, quality of life is going to go downhill. And it's a really important thing, I think, if we have a universal front from the board especially to say, hey, we really need to have this traffic light. And then everybody else in the neighborhood starts to go ahead and call those same people from Art Warren all the way down. And that's really what I'm here today to say. Is please, I know you guys have a lot of stuff going on with this roundabout. Obviously, VDOT is concerned about that and what have you, but I can't say it enough. Some of my other neighbors would like to be here. A lot of them are out of town. Their houses are paid for. They live in the neighborhood, but they're out in other homes. Or they could be here for their other responsibility. I'm a father. I have children. I have responsibilities. I'm on other boards. I work. Do all kinds of things. I made a point here tonight to come here to say, please, 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 President, please, send some sort of letter of direction to BCA manager and send it to not only the county officials but also to VDOT, and then the other neighbors can follow suit behind me to call them.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Just to make some clarifying, or just to first, we appreciate your enthusiasm. We'll just say it right up front because, believe it or not, Brandonville has presented a united front on this issue. If you went online, you would see that we've already written a letter to Art Warren, Delegate Ware, and some others, and we are working in coordination with Meyer Pallotta at this facility to make sure that we are getting a strong effort presented so that there will be a traffic light at that intersection.
And there is a meeting tomorrow.
President, if I may add on to that, is that, you know, I understand most of you on the board are smart. I voted for most of you. And the thing is that if we just ask like a third grader from elementary school, we take math and science and put those two things together, the volume of noise from cars, let's just call it autobahn out here, going up and down the road out here, the noise level is also going to increase.
Yeah, I appreciate
that. We're going to feel like a sound wall, or all of a sudden it's going to be so...
I appreciate it. We have 3 minutes for comments. We again, appreciate your enthusiasm for it, but we hear you. We understand you. We are responding in the fashion you've noted. We have already written a letter. It's in your. If you go online, you'll see what the text of that letter is. In fact, if one of your folks that might have it with you, they might be able to show you what we actually wrote.
Actually, Mr. Warren is also Supervisor Warren has written a letter, and I know communicated with Senator Watkins and also
Lee Ware.
Yes. Delegate Ware.
Thank you.
So, and we will probably have some more comments from the manager's report. She's addressing it in her report as well.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other members of the union that wish to speak to the board tonight that have not yet signed up for member voice?
Quickly.
You're standing, so please.
Kathy Cantrell in Huntsbridge neighborhood. The outdoor facility on Alternate Road, I think, is appalling. See it from the road. The place where you store the boats and everything.
Oh, the corral. Thank
yes.
you.
The
Thank
corral.
You.
Okay. I just find that it's really ugly to drive by that all the time. In the summer, it's not bad because of the leaves, but this time of the year, it's an eyesore.
Thank you very much. We'll have staff make a note of that. Yes, sir. Please.
I'm David Shaw. I'm a resident of Springgate, and I just wanted to express concern about the recent increase in the dues, quarterly assessment. That means we're now paying $432 a year. My understanding from just attending a few meetings and hearing a little bit is one of the rationales for this was the cost of employees is going up. And you and I have talked before about the tremendous loss in value we've all suffered in our homes, and it seems to me rather ingenuous and poor timing to increase the dues at a time when we're all really suffering financially. My house is so ridiculously below what I have in it that it is very troubling. And to see the board not appear to be paying attention to this. And I have a very straightforward suggestion, and that is to eliminate employees and eliminate the dues. Many organizations are run by contractors. I'm not suggesting you run without some type of contract organization. But I did want to throw a good word in, which is the email I received this afternoon from BCA promoting the traffic light up the street, which is clearly needed. And I would like to see the board move to being more of a lobbyist for the residents of this area and less in terms of taking money from us, especially when the subdivision makes $500,000 a year independent of our dues. And according to the numbers, you all are collecting another $1.5 million in dues from us, and I think that number could be, if not completely eliminated, cut to far less. So that's my concern tonight.
Thank you, sir. Any other members that wish to speak during member voice? All right, there being no further members that wish to speak, we'll move to the next portion. Agenda motion to, can I get a motion to approve the meeting from the minutes from our December 5th meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Any member or director comments on the meetings or the minutes? All right, there being no more comments on it, can I call a question? All those in favor of the minutes as presented, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Anybody?
I abstain. I wasn't here.
Okay. It's five in favor, Director Livingston abstains. Director Williams is not present. I think I'm going to reserve comment about. I'll keep my comments brief, actually. I'll only say this. As I mentioned at a December meeting, I do encourage people to get involved in this community. Even those of you that come to us and present opinions on an issue that is opposite to what the board has decided, it doesn't mean you don't love the community or you're not concerned about the direction of the community. And if you have the commitment to come up, participate in meetings or participate in committees, we're asking those of you that have seriously considered or made a big commitment to Brandon Mill, whether it's in your term of residency, how long you've been here, or other things, just be willing to give some time, I encourage you to please consider giving time to the community in one way or another, either by joining our committees, you can do so by calling our BCA staff, or for running for the board. I know it's a big commitment, and at times we look like we might be getting a little grief from our residents, and sometimes we are, and that's okay. We're here because we like to serve, we care about our community, and it's important to us, and I know it's important to y'all, so I encourage anybody interested in serving our community, please do so. You can pick up your packets for the board at our BCA office. I think that they could be picked up anytime. February issue of the Village Mill, is that right? The 5th of February. Don't just leave it up to us seven people. There's a lot more that can be done. There's actually a lot of work. A lot of the wonderful things that you see going on in the community are not done by the board. They're done by members just like you who give their time to other committees. Okay, moving on. Manager's report.
I'll just elaborate on John's remarks. The packages will be ready, could be picked up anytime between now and the election. However, if you want to be in the Village Mill in February, the deadline is February 5th to get us some information. So they are ready for pickup. To the point that was brought up regarding Brandon Mill Woods, there is a meeting here tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Brandon Mill Woods is hosting this. About the red light, because they have a lot of concerned residents, but they have opened up the meeting to the rest of Brandon Mill, so for anyone that wants to attend. Art Warren has written a letter to Delegate Ware and also to Senator Watkins and ask them both to support a red light at this location. I followed up in writing to Delegate Ware this past week, and he has asked Tom Hawthorne, who's with the Virginia Department of Transportation, to relook at the traffic count. So they are in the process of doing that. And I understand that that count and those results should be back within a week's time. So we'll have more information at that time. But Myra Pallotta and I, who is in charge of Brander Mill Woods, has written numerous letters herself to the county state representatives, indicating to them that because of the critical care facility across the road, that once this road out here is widened to four lanes, that a lot of the people that live on this side of Brander Mill Woods visit their family on the other side of the road, and that it's going to be very difficult once it's four lanes for them to get back and forth without either an accident or a fatality. So I want to make sure everybody knows that we have been, we have been in correspondence with the county, with the state, and they know that we are looking for a traffic light to be in this location. When the county first came to meet with Myra Pallotta and myself, a traffic light was planned. And the county has put the money in the plan for the traffic light. It's VDOT and their traffic count right now that is saying that it's not needed. But I have a feeling that we should see that change when they start to look at it from a safety standpoint instead of just a traffic count standpoint. But that's where we are right now.
Is that their only argument, a traffic count?
Right now, VDOT, yes.
And it wouldn't be that it would negate the reason that they're widening the Powhite, because I mean we've got this huge backup the other way during rush hours. I was just wondering, putting another stoplight there at the next intersection, is that going to cause that bottleneck to be even worse?
Well, the stacking is the issue.
Yes.
However, I think the stacking would work in their favor with a light here, because it would allow some break to occur if they properly timed the signal.
Yeah, it has to be timed correctly,
right,
for sure. And there's got to be a left turn right, error both ways.
And without a traffic light, making a left turn out here,
it's horrible.
Well,
I've tried to
widen to four lanes. It's going to be next
it's
to
even
impossible.
Gonna be, yeah.
Where's the extra lane going to come from?
The other side of the road.
The other side.
On the Brander Mill Woods property, but on the other side of the road from here.
So then there'll be two through lanes, mm-hmm, coming from the Poway.
Mm-hmm. Jane, I'm wondering if we could take one additional step to alert the community through a blast, as well as on the website, that we're supportive of the traffic light there. We're supportive of the concerns that Brander Mill Woods has, that Brander Mill Woods have started a petition, and we encourage residents to sign that petition, and here's where they can sign it. Even if we got some copies at the DCA office, or people could come here to Brander Mill Woods and sign it, or put it online and sign it.
Well, we did blast it today.
Yes.
But we can do another one in the next couple days or so, and then give them more
strongly
information and make
residents
sure they're aware of the petition that Brander Mill Woods,
right,
has gotten
together. And I think our resident is absolutely right. The more we alert them, it's not just the board president or the manager calling, but it's residents calling with concerns. They'll those folks are voters, so they'll pay attention.
Okay. I know Dick has mentioned it in past meetings, but I just want to also let everyone know that Dick, Joyce, and I and Al did visit Reston, and we have a lot of information that we brought back to share. We're going to talk about some of that on Thursday night. This Thursday night is our first meeting for the Communications Task Force, and so we'll share some of that with the people that attend that meeting on Thursday night. But we had a very informative trip, and coming out of that also, we're going to do, Dick has written an article that we're going to run in the probably February edition of the Village Mill in regard to trying to start to capture Brander Mill's history before we lose it and people either move from the community or they throw it out or whatever. But Ruston has a very impressive museum, and they've collected or had been able to collect a lot of the history of Ruston, so it's worth us looking into. And Dick has graciously volunteered to help with that initiative.
Thank you, Dick.
Anyway, if there's any questions, but otherwise, some of the other items will be addressed later in the agenda.
Okay.
out how you proceed. You just have your notes in the...
I don't have anything to add to my report.
And you have historic reports that are also attached, plus the minutes of committees that I received in the past month.
The minutes are attached for those committees? Okay.
The other thing I'll mention is, maybe Joan was going to. The one thing, the CCC did a mailbox count.
Yes, yes.
And just so everybody knows, there's 1,058 new mailboxes in Randallville.
We went out and counted the mailboxes. We almost have a third of the mailboxes up now.
And there was a 300% increase between April and the count in the number of mailboxes.
Right.
There's a spreadsheet that shows what neighborhoods.
Yes, what neighborhoods. And they're still trying to sell that pizza party. Any of you who get all the mailboxes, you get a pizza party.
So we got, two more years?
Yes.
Does that work out perfect then? It's 3,000 mailboxes.
Right. 1,000
a year?
Yep.
I'm all for revising it back to less than 6 months. Just throwing that out there.
I think we came up with a fair solution. Okay, number 7 on our agenda is a pool analysis. We deferred this item from our December meeting so that the director of logistics could speak to it. You know, we've all had a chance to see this document in one of its various forms over the last 4 months. And I know you've all had a chance to look at it. I don't know how much the numbers have changed to anybody's satisfaction, other than to say that there are some... I won't speak to much more, Jason, but I'll let you introduce it.
All right, well, a little background and refresher might help. Recall that this started with Bob Friedel and I last spring in the twilight of his term. We needed some better information, and there's a lot of discussion about whether these pools even have the capacity to get universal access. There was some discussion about how much the community has really invested in purchasing and renovating these pools, and how much the community continues to subsidize the pools per year, and to try to get a handle on that information. So this was the first attempt, and the board budgeted money for this study, which started, I want to say, in April or May of last year, and we had this exotic timeline, which was blown out of the water. Several products later, this is a much improved product, although it does not have the level of information, I think, that you can base a decision on. Certainly, it's helpful and improved over the other versions. Jane and I talked this week, and I think for tonight's purposes, what I would suggest that the board do is A, approve the report, just so we can close the loop on that engagement with Higgins and Gerstmeyer. And then second would be to refer this to the appropriate committees to evaluate and give us their expert feedback, and that would be the Facilities Committee and the Finance Committee. My personal thoughts on this are that it's accurate, although it's lean on substance. It lists a lot of challenges with the pools and things that are going to have to be done anyway, and it describes, you know, the status quo, which is the community will continue to have to invest an awful lot of money to get these pools to where they should be and then to maintain them. And whether that's for ADA compliance or cosmetic works or just basic functionality with electricity and plumbing. And so the decisions now, I think it does fairly say that in their present iteration, that they do not seem to have the capacity for everyone in the community to use the pools at any given point. And there's no way that we can know what would actually happen, but this is the professional's best estimate based on three methodologies. So going forward, the decisions, as I see it for the board, are continue the current model and continue to invest the public money to keep this limited, we'll call it a limited use amenity. It's 500 Brandonville families, and there's a lot of extra money that's going to have to be put into it. Get out of the pool business, or you know, by other methods. You know, but I think any universal access discussion would have to include a significant commitment to expanding the pools, which again is just pouring more of the public money in. But at least the discussion with our young friend there was timely, that we're going to lose pool members. You know, when you have this universal access, we remove that discussion. We keep our good swimmers, our athletes, our community here swimming for Brandon-Mill as it should be. So again, those are my suggestions for the board and then some personal thoughts, and I'll turn the floor over, Mr.
President. Well, as I heard, at least one salient point in there is that the board, we need to close this loop as far as the Gerstenmeyer folks are concerned, so that requires a motion to do. So I'm asking, is there any director that wishes to make such a motion?
I'll make that motion, Mr. President, to accept the report of Higgins and Gerstenmeyer dated October 20th, 2011.
And would you include in that referring it to the Finance Committee and...
Yes, and direct the, for purposes of the motion, direct the Finance Committee and Facilities Committee to review and provide feedback to the board on the report.
Second.
It's seconded by Director Guthrie. Since it's an item under motion, this Director McGinnis would remind me, are there any members of the community that are present that wish to speak to this? Essentially, what we have here is a document we've been working on that makes recommendations regarding costs to each of the pool facilities to make them accessible to all members of the community if we were to go to a universal pool status.
Well, I want to clarify, Mr. President. The call of this engagement was to make recommendations on things that have to be done regardless.
Thank you.
Right.
Of whether we go to universal access or keep our membership-based model.
Thank you. Very well.
Calling for comment?
Yes, I am.
Well, consistent with my previous point, only a small percentage of the people use public pools. I'm very concerned about the proposals for universal access. I've heard about them. I was fortunate when I was happy when I saw that it didn't go through last year. And apparently what I'm hearing is that a report has been commissioned. I don't know what the report looks like. Is it available on the Brandon-Mill website?
Take mine.
Okay, cool. But the thing is, when I hear spending public money, and I like the way Jason worded that, because this is our money, and we're bleeding to death in this subdivision. We're paying a lot of money in annual dues, and what we're hearing is spending more of our money for something that only a limited percentage of people use. I think the model that you sell the pools to a private operator, and the private operator makes it go or doesn't make it go. There are plenty of pools out there. The American Fitness facilities are selling memberships for $20 a month. The brand new facility up here has a pool up here very close to subdivision. We've got YMCA close. Sports Quest, which may be the only thing that's going to bail out of the cost, the value basis in these properties, will have substantial pool access when it's completed at some point. So, you know, my vote is dump the pools and let's be more careful about our money, and maybe we'll see some improvement in the value of our homes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other member comment, please?
Hi, my name is Wynn Barthel. I'm in Northwich, right? And I totally disagree with the last comment. I feel that our neighborhood is full of families, and I think families need pools. And I know the pools are in bad shape and require a lot of money to go to universal access, but I would vote for universal access before I would vote for dumping them. I think we need the pools. I don't think their cost. I don't think the cost of them per resident would be that large that it would not be a desirable thing to have to draw people. And young families that can't afford American Family and Sports Quest and the Y to have a neighborhood pool that their kids can bike to. I mean, that's how, what this neighborhood was designed for. And I just hate to see us letting money come and the age of the facility detract from that original thought of the neighborhood community.
Thank you very much. Any other members wish to speak to this particular item?
I didn't plan to. Sorry.
I don't think they did either, but we brought it up. So
again, Bill Corner, and I guess I said earlier, I've been proud of the community over the years. I've been a resident since very early in history. But of course, it's going through some transition as it becomes more of a neighborhood, less of a community as it originally might have been. I think one of the key elements is to have a community identity, to have that ability to feel like you do have some ownership. I will never be a member or use the pools again. I'm not saying that negatively. I'm saying that my lifestyle and time now don't see that need. But I do see the need for a community to maintain the special things we have, the bike paths, the golf course, the community, the pools and things as part of making a community special. So that would only be my comment, is I understand money, I do understand that's an issue, and I think that obviously the board, like any organization, is looking where money can be saved, but I think we need to maintain the identity of the community as well.
Thank you, Bill. Any other members wish to speak to this particular issue? Very well, I'll open it up to the directors in discussion.
So we're going to also send guidance to Finance Committee to that's what we're looking for. I mean, ultimately, I think this board is looking to make a decision between what we currently see as three options. I agree with Jason. I think it's either universal pools, either keep the current business model, or you get out of the business of pools. I don't think any of us want to sell that. And getting out of the business of pools is not necessarily turning those pools over to a third party. I would warn against that, probably because these decisions will be made after I'm off this board. I would warn against that because you've got at least two or three facilities that are in the middle of your development that you then turn over the upkeep and how those pools may go and look in the future to someone else. But is that, do we want to give that direction to finance that, you know, put some financials together on those three options?
Well, I mean, I would certainly support that, and you know, your options are, there are things you've got to do under the current model, and there are things you've got to do under universal access, and there's an awful lot of overlap. But if there's $100,000 per year for the next 5 years of extra expenses, then, you know, the facilities committee needs to know about it, the finance committee needs to know about it, and be deliberate about it rather than waiting for a problem to get worse. So a lot of these things that are suggested are cosmetic. A lot of things we know about, like the, you know, the electricity and plumbing, you have to do. So we'll, right. You know, how long do we wait before we do that? And it has to be done regardless. So, again, I would agree with giving that extra direction to the committees and encourage them to read these notes.
Yeah.
Anybody, any other comment? Well, I'll just add then, before we take a vote on it, that my record on the pools are, I think, pretty clear. I fought hard to maintain that amenity. I would fight hard just for any other amenity. I think Bill mentioned, you know, our trails, the golf course, pools are all part of the original package of Brandonville, and I think it would be short-sighted to walk away from what was the original concept of Brandon. Now, within that framework, there are obviously, you know, things that can mitigate that. I would just like to mention to the board and the community that these are old pools. You know, they're very old pools. And, you know, I think, Dick, if you're discussing with our finance committee especially, you know, there are going to be some immediate things, and I suspect that they're going to be big-ticket items. So I think both finance and facilities need to understand that there are going to be some things that we're going to have to, some hard choices, hard decisions, hard recommendations are going to have to come out, I think, relatively quickly.
Right. Well, I think the Finance Committee also can work with staff to develop a plan to address those things identified in the report that need to be done, more immediate, those things that can be done 3 years there to 5 years there, et cetera, so that as budgeting starts, we can address some of those things. And we've already addressed one, is that we approved adding the list to the pool. Having a plan that allows us to check those kinds of things off. When are we going to redo the ramp at North Beach? When are we going to do the bathrooms? What about the operating systems, et cetera? But I think that they can help us develop that kind of approach.
Okay. Again, this motion is, if you just read the motion back to me, we have a lot of discussion.
The motion was, Jason moved to accept the report dated 10/20/11 and direct finance and facility and direct the finance and facility committee to review and provide info back to the board, information back to the board. It was seconded by Dick.
Okay. That's all we're making a recommendation on. Do we have any other comment? No, I'll call a question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Next, we have a motion to approve the committee charters, which are in your packets. They are community character charter, the facilities charter, and the hearing panel charter. I believe these are presented with very little amendments, if any.
None of them.
Are there any members of the community?
No changes.
Are there any members of the community wish to speak to the approval of the committee charters that were here presented? No.
I just had a comment. I assume we will change the date. They're not going to be just like this, right?
When it's approved.
Okay. That's all.
Did anybody move?
No, we haven't made a motion.
There's been no motion made. You make the motion?
No, there's been no motion made.
Could I get a motion to approve the committee charters?
I would move that we approve all three of the committee charters presented, community character, facilities, and hearing panel.
Second.
Joan beat you to it.
I did.
Any board discussion on that? There being no discussion, can I get, we'll call the question. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is approval of Sunday Park changes. Sunday Park sign changes. My apologies. Are these a computer?
They're in here. You have pictures. Mm-hmm. This sign looks like this. It's in your packet. This sign is at one of the church grounds, right at the entrance to Sunday Park at the Loop Road. And if you'll notice, the upper picture here is the way it looks right now. This sign, for as long as it's been at this location, has never been refurbished, which means that we've never used reserve fund money to do anything to the sign, and it is in need of refurbishing. And so I met with Kevin Healy, Dan Butler, and Andy Wyman, and their suggestion, if you can't hardly read it up here, but because it's not the greatest of pictures, but at any rate, right now the sign names the businesses specifically that are down there. It says the Boathouse, Dan Butler Photography. Their suggestion as business owners is to just put something more generic like insurance, photography, real estate, restaurant on removable panels. That way if something changes in Sunday Park, it's not as costly to have to change the sign. And so that's what the bottom picture is representative of. We would still have a reader board at the bottom for the BCA and the businesses down there to use for messages for the community. And that's basically, I just wanted the board to be aware and acknowledge that they would approve of this type of change on that sign.
Yep. How big's the sign?
I don't know.
It's all on our property. So.
Sign isn't changing its size. It's the same size. It's just being refurbished.
So we're all good.
Whose property is it on?
Probably on the church's property.
Probably on the church's. Looking at it. But.
I think it's in the state right away.
But to be clear, you're taking the old sign down, refurbishing and redoing it and replacing it back. So
exactly.
We're not replacing a sign.
No, it's there and it's just being repainted and changed. Yeah. That's it. Not yeah. changed in size or anything else.
Should the church actually be on the sign?
They have their own sign.
They have their own sign. As you go towards the exit, there's a similar looking sign that says the Brandonville Church.
They probably need to redo their sign.
Well, it is a pretty old looking sign. I mean, it's on their land. It seemed like the neighborly thing to do. Is it on their land or is that state right away?
It might be right away.
Neither one is good.
I mean, you're just refurbishing an existing sign. I think we'll leave it at that.
All right.
On a related note, do we have a list or do we put together some type of list as to what neighborhood signs and signs that we need to redo and the schedule for doing that?
Maintenance keeps a list of the ones that have been done over the years and which ones need to be done and that type of thing.
Okay. Because the one at the reservoir is looking really, really bad, along with the Cove Ridge sign, which I brought up. I said something about it before they washed them or whatever they did, but it looks even worse now that they washed them. So that one is really bad, the big one that's sitting there, and then also Cove Ridge's. But I noticed several of the other neighborhood signs along the Millridge Parkway Heritage Woods. And,
right, they're done routinely, so they'll look at the list to determine which ones are next in line.
I hate to raise this point, but on that point, the one Brandonville sign that just announces Brandonville Street coming south on Charter Colony, that skinny one, it stands in direct contrast
to pitiful.
Another sign
that you can see for miles.
Yeah. I mean, the one up in Carriage Pines, it's a little diminutive, I would just say, and that one is on our land.
Well, they could trim the shrubs back, too, and it probably could be seen a little better. The shrubs are now beginning to overtake that side, but anyway. It doesn't
just
look as make, bad
just
as the one at the reservoir. The one at the reservoir is pretty bad.
Yeah, it does look bad. I know.
It's pathetic looking.
We can look at that sign as far as the shrubbery around it, things like that in the spring.
Oh, you're talking about the one at
Carriage Creek?
Carriage Creek, yeah.
Well, there's one further up. You know the one that's past Carriage Creek? It's at
across
from the apartments.
Right, water.
Right.
Very
skinny up there.
It's skinny.
All the geese are.
Seems out of place. It just seems out of place. That's all I'm saying.
President, I move that we accept staff's recommendation for the refurbishment of the sign at Sunday Park as presented to us.
Does this require a motion? I don't think it does.
Well, I'd like everybody to be aware that the board has approved it.
Second. Thank you.
Are there any board comments on the
sign? No, I think it's going to look really good.
Okay, this is the sign next to the Brandonville Church right before the entrance to Sunday Park. If there are no further comments on the sign, can I get, we'll call the question. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. That was a fun discussion.
Good evening.
Mr. President, I would like to make a motion that the BCA move into executive session to discuss a contract, legal issue, and a personnel issue.
Second.
Call question. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay.
We're in executive session.
I'd like to thank the membership for coming.
We'll resume
after the session.